Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for next week's teaching. Just want to say we hope that you have a wonderful Passover this weekend. We will be celebrating Passover this weekend. So we here hope that you have a wonderful Passover and that it is blessed. And so with that said, that is what this week's teaching is going to be about. It is going to be about Passover and the feast that we will be celebrating this spring. You know, the spring feasts represent the first coming of Yeshua. It represents everything that he accomplished when he came the first time. And the fall feasts celebrate everything that he is going to do upon his second return. And we have just started a series called Israel in Egypt. And our first teaching on that, we talked about how Pharaoh had become scared of the children of Israel because they had multiplied and become so great in the land of Egypt that he began to treat them harshly and bitterly. And as he did that, as he persecuted them, Israel just continued to grow and multiply and become even stronger. But as we progress in our teaching, we're going to get to the very thing that we're talking about today. And that is, it was time for Israel to leave Egypt. And Israel was being called out of Egypt, and they were brought out of Egypt through the Passover. And God was showing Israel his character and who he was during the book of Exodus and through the Passover. And so Passover teaches us about him and about his character and about who he is. And we think about the story of Passover and what they did that night when they were brought out of Egypt. They were all instructed to take a lamb who was without spot, without blemish, and they were to slaughter that lamb, and they were to take the blood of that lamb and apply it on the doorpost of their home. And that night, when the angel of death came by, any home that had the blood of the lamb upon the doorpost, it passed over that house and did not bring judgment. But to those who did not have the blood on the doorpost, received the judgment. So that's what we celebrate in Passover, is the fact that God passed over Israel and the land. He did not bring them judgment, but that he spared them. And Yeshua is our Passover lamb. So let's look at John chapter 1 and verse 29. On the next day, he saw Yeshua coming. This is speaking of John the Baptist, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So this is John the Baptist speaking while he is standing at the Jordan River, baptizing people, preaching the message of repentance. And Yeshua comes walking by, and John looks and he speaks for the crowd to hear, "Behold, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He is proclaiming to the people there that Yeshua was the Passover lamb. So to whomever would believe in Yeshua would have their sin taken away. Judgment would pass over them. So just as Israel applied the blood to the doorposts of their homes, when we put our belief in Yeshua and we believe that he was the sinless one, that he was the one without spot, without blemish, just as they chose that lamb that was without spot, without blemish, as speaking that Yeshua was the one without sin. And when we believe that he is the one who is without sin, who died upon the cross for our sins, even though he did not deserve that death, he paid our punishment for us. And by his blood, there is a removal of our sins. There is a cleansing of our sins. So to those who believe in Yeshua and that he did that for them, to them, they will not receive judgment at the time of judgment. Now let's go on to verse 35 here. It says, on the next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Yeshua as he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak and followed Yeshua. So on the next day, there are two disciples there standing there, and they hear John say, behold, the Lamb of God. And these two disciples heard John say this, and they believed what John was saying. They believed that Yeshua was the Lamb of God, the one who was sent to take away the sin of the world. And so because they believed what John said, they followed Yeshua. So let's think about that this season as we're celebrating Passover. We're celebrating, yes, that our belief in Yeshua has cleansed us and forgiven us of all of our sins. And we stand justified and right standing before God, not because of what we've done, but because of what Yeshua did for us, because he paid the price for us. But because we believe him, we should do as these two disciples did. We should follow him. And when we follow him, we are learning his ways. So let's read Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20. He says, but you did not learn Messiah in this way. If indeed you heard him and were taught in him, just as truth is in Yeshua, to lay aside in reference to your former conduct, the old man, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new man, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. So we are now following Yeshua, which means that we are now learning from Yeshua. We are now learning Messiah. And Paul here is telling us how we learn Messiah, how we should have learned Messiah. He says, you were taught in him to lay aside your former conduct, the old man, which was corrupted. And now you are to be renewed in the spirit of your mind to put on the new man, which is in the likeness of God. So that's what this spring feast is all about. In three feasts during this week, we are celebrating three things that can be summarized in this statement of us leaving behind the former man and walking in the likeness of God. So yes, his death symbolizes the fact that we are forgiven, but it also symbolizes that we are dead to our old man. We're going to be celebrating the season of unleavened bread, which is a time of going and searching in our hearts for anything that is not pleasing unto him. We have been called to walk in the likeness of God. Anything that is not in the likeness of God, but is in likeness or in reference to our former conduct, we are to put those things to death. And we are to line up with those things which are in the likeness of God, which has been created, what, in righteousness and holiness. His scripture tells us that his law, his Torah, the instructions he has given us are righteous, holy, and true. They're truth. So his law is what teaches us what is righteous. It is what teaches us what is holy. It is the very thing that teaches us how to be set apart from the world. It teaches us how to be set apart from our former conduct. So as we go into the week of unleavened bread, we're searching, we're preparing our hearts, and we're looking for those things in our lives that we are still walking in that line up with the former conduct and not to the likeness of God. And we have been called to remove that sin or that leaven. So let's look at what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Messiah, our Passover lamb, was also sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So we are instructed to celebrate unleavened bread, not with the leaven of malice or wickedness. So we're not celebrating Passover or unleavened bread in wickedness or with a heart that has a desire to rebel against God's law, against that which is pleasing unto him. We're not celebrating it, walking in a heart that desires to be like our former conduct, to be shaped by our former conduct, instead of being shaped in the likeness of God. That's how you celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread in wickedness, is by walking in rebellion and being resistant to his law and his word, rejecting that which is in his likeness, but instead clinging to your former ways, clinging to the former man, clinging to that which satisfies the flesh, that which satisfies the desires of the old man's heart, instead of seeking that which is of the new man that's been created in his righteousness and in his holiness by his truth, which is his word. And that which is pleasing unto him, that which is in his likeness. And so Paul says, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? If you leave just a little bit of leaven in the dough, eventually the whole lump is going to become leavened. And so what he is speaking about here is the sin that is in our lives. He's referencing sin unto leaven. If you leave just a little bit of sin, just a little bit of disobedience towards his word, just a little bit of compromise towards his word, of rejecting of his word, saying that's not for me, or I don't want to do that, I don't like that. A little bit of that sin left unchecked will eventually leaven or ruin your whole heart and your whole mind, and your whole heart and your whole mind will become full of sin and desires of the former conduct instead of walking in the likeness of God, seeking that which pleases him. So as we go into the week of unleavened bread and we're preparing our homes by searching and getting rid of any leaven that is in our homes, it is a physical act that we are doing to teach us and to remind us that we need to do that on the spiritual level, that we need to search our hearts and our minds for those things that are not pleasing unto him, those areas where we are not walking in submission and obedience to his word. And that is the great thing about this season, is that we celebrate it every single year. So every year we go through this process of searching our hearts and our minds for any bit of leaven, for any bit of sin that may be hiding in there that we are holding on to, so that we can turn from it and repent from it, which means to change our minds about it, to cease from doing it, and to walk in a different direction. And if we constantly are doing this every year in sincerity and in truth, with a heart that is sincerely desiring to walk in his likeness and do that which is pleasing unto him and to walk in obedience to his heart, then the little bit of leaven that is in our hearts, the little bit of sin that is there, will not have the ability to leaven the whole lump. And so that's what we're doing. We are searching and getting rid of that so that it will not spread unto the whole lump. So let us celebrate unleavened bread this year with all sincerity, with a heart that truly desires to walk a life that is pleasing unto God in his likeness, that we will walk just as Yeshua walked, that we have a heart that has a desire to learn Yeshua, to learn his ways, to see how he walked, and desire to do just as he did. And as we come across the areas of our lives that do not line up with his ways, with the way that he walked, that we will repent of those things. That's what sincerity is, a heart that truly desires to walk in his ways and do it in truth. What is truth? His law, his Torah, the instructions, the word of God is truth. And so we celebrate it by walking in his ways, a heart that has a sincere desire to walk in obedience to his word. Now let's look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Messiah was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So Yeshua died upon the cross for our sins. It's what we celebrate on Passover. We, therefore, are to consider ourselves to have been buried with him in his death when we were baptized. That is what it is. We went down into our symbolizing death. So we put our faith in him. We have been baptized in water. And this Passover season, as we remember his death, let's be reminded of the fact that we were buried with him in his death. But it says, so that as Messiah was raised from the dead, which is the last feast that we will be celebrating this spring feast, is the feast of first fruits, the day that he presented the wave sheaf offering. It celebrates the resurrection of Messiah from the grave. Death could not hold him down. He resurrected from that grave. He is alive today, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And so that resurrection power that raised Messiah from the grave is alive in us and in you. And so we have been given that power so that we might walk in newness of life. So we're celebrating this season the fact that we have died with him. We are purging ourselves from our sins, and we have been raised to walk in a newness of life and the new man, which is in the likeness of God, created in his righteousness and holiness, that is walking in his ways, walking in obedience to his law and his Torah, the instructions he has given us. His law and his Torah is instructions on how to walk in that which is righteous and that which is holy. Now let's look at verse 5. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. So we died to sin, we have been resurrected, and the newness of life and the very purpose of this is so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. So what can we celebrate this Passover season is that we are no longer slaves to sin. Sin no longer has power over us or you. There is no temptation that you face that is too strong for you to overcome, because you have the resurrection power of Yeshua living inside of you. You have been made a new man. Now let's look at verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Messiah Yeshua. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So Paul is telling us, consider yourself dead to sin. Consider yourself to have no enticement, no draw whatsoever unto sin. Consider yourself to be dead to it. You have no desire for it. You have no want to do it. And when it comes tempting you, you are dead to the temptation of it. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't bother you. It has no appeal or draw unto you, because you are alive unto God in Messiah Yeshua. You desire and long to live for God, to walk in his likeness. So we are dead to sin, to disobedience, to the former behaviors, and we're alive unto Messiah. So we are to consider ourselves and to desire and to want to walk in the likeness of God. And do not let sin reign in your body. Do not allow sin to be there. That's why the week of unleavened bread is important, to search our hearts, to try our hearts, to find where that little bit of sin is at and to purge it and to get rid of it. Because if we allow sin to remain and we begin to obey it, then what's going to happen? It's going to ruin the whole lump. We have to be mindful of who we are presenting our members to serve. Who are we worshiping? When we walk in disobedience, we are serving sin. We are worshiping sin. When we walk in obedience, we are serving righteousness, or we are serving God, and we are worshiping God. Now, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you go on presenting yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? So Paul asked a question. Think about this in terms of what we're celebrating this Passover season. He died on the cross for my sins, and I am forgiven. So why do I need to worry about walking in a newness of life? Why do I need to worry about purging the sin out of my life? Why do I need to be worried about the week of unleavened bread and doing the inner work in my hearts? Why can't I just continue sinning if I am forgiven? And so Paul asked the question, shall we sin? And he says, may it never be. And then he goes on to say, you are the slave to the one whom you obey. So if you continue to obey sin, if you continue to be disobedient to God's word, sin is disobedience to God's word. That's what it is. So if you continue to walk in disobedience to his word and continue to sin, then you are a slave unto sin. And you are serving sin. You are serving the one whom you obey. If you are obeying his word, if you're obeying the instructions and the law that he has laid out for us, then you are serving righteousness. You are obedient unto righteousness. So the question is, whom are you obeying? Let's get that straight and let's get that right this season as we go into Passover, as we celebrate the fact that we have died with him, that our old man is dead, no longer under the power of sin anymore. We get the ability to remove anything in our lives that is unpleasing unto him, and he has given us the power to walk and newness of life so that we can walk in the likeness of God and we can be a living sacrifice unto him that is pleasing before him. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us this week. Again, hope you have a wonderful and blessed and happy Passover and week of unleavened bread and first fruits. Well, shalom, y'all. We'll be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now.
Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.